out in one go. I had no time for any extra politeness at this point.
"The paint costs 2 coppers, said the merchant, entirely unsurprised by my strange request. "The tunic and skirt, 2 gold each, the wig, 20, and the portal to Farstead, 1,000 gold. Payment up front, I don't do credit."
Instead of shocking the merchant with my request, it was my turn to be surprised. Where would an ordinary merchant get all these things? All right, the paint and the clothes, I understand. These are saleable goods that many would buy. A wig, willy-nilly, might also be lumped in with saleable goods, but a portal scroll? Certainly not. 1,000 gold for players and NPCs under level 40 is really a lot of money. Until you are able to go through dungeons, money is usually in short supply. The quests handed out by NPCs bring little profit, and low-level items are hard to sell. As if reading my mind, or just seeing the surprised expression on my face, the merchant laughed.
"Don't worry, there isn't a catch. It really is a scroll of teleportation to Farstead. I bought it long ago myself as a backup in case of a bandit attack. I've been riding around with it for 2 years now and never had the need to use it. I'm even beginning to regret investing so much money into it. I'm selling it almost at the asking price. The mage sold it to me for 950 gold, so my markup is quite small."
50 gold, a small markup? Are you trying to ruin me? I recovered from the initial shock and started to bargain furiously. Those who knew me before prison would have never believed that a quiet and modest programmer of security systems, always buying things for the price asked by the merchants, would fight so hard for each copper. And I would, as well. My trade stat says I must. "Take off 40 gold and I'll take it straight away."
"Ha! A grown man who still believes in fairy tales about discount."
The NPC wouldn't give in. Of course it wouldn't, since it was programmed to rip off players as much as possible, the maximum cost of the item plus a half. Players are obliged and must spend money in Barleona rather than take it out into the real world.
"The most I'm prepared to reduce it by is 5 gold. Just think about it. I kept the scroll safe all this time, in the rain, keeping it drier than myself. Did I suffer all these hardships just to make a profit of some measly 10 gold? 45 and not a copper less."
It took me 5 minutes to bring the price of the scroll to 970 gold. The crowd that formed around us started to hand out advice on how to get the wily merchant to stop being so tight, and when it was the merchant's turn, they'd advise him not to make a deal with such a greedy buyer. Such good people lived in Beatwick, so sympathetic and neighborly. I'd be quite happy never to have set my eyes on them. After I paid the needed total and increased my trade by a whole level, bringing it now to 7, I was about to leave, but remembered the strange spider eye. I had to identify it anyway, and that wasn't something I could do by myself. Perhaps the merchant would manage it.
"Dear sir, I also have this thing here. Would you mind having a look? Is this in any way useful?" I asked, taking out the eye, horrible and unpleasant to the touch, and handing it to the merchant, who suddenly became as still as a statue. Dumbfounded, he looked at the item in my hand, and a couple of seconds later a message flashed in front of me.
"Item identified. The Eye of the Dark Widow. Attention! The owner of the item has access to a quest. Do you wish to look at the description?"
I became almost a mirror of the merchant's frozen stance. A quest obtained from an item could mean only one thing. I had in my possession a way to another Legend of Barleona. I swallowed with effort and read the quest description.
"The Eye of the Dark Widow. Description. 100,000 years ago, before humans appeared in Barleona, the world was ruled by cruel and capricious tarantula lords, who subdued all other races with their power. After a cataclysm, the tarantula lords vanished, and all the races tried to wipe the thousands of years of tarantula yoke from their memory, letting them be entirely forgotten. But in the depths of the Freelands, there still exists a cult worshipping these lords, and its patriarch dreams of bringing back the tarantulas and submerging the world in fear and pain. Stop them, or it will be too late. Go to the Emperor for further instructions. Quest type, legendary. Level requirements, 100+. Group requirements, 20+ participants. Reward, hidden.
20 level 100 players who will need to make their way deep into the Freelands and bring down some patriarch. For all the esteem in which I hold my dear self, organizing a raid like this is beyond me, at least at this point in time. But that's no reason to throw away such an object. I turn the eye over in my hand for a little while and put it back in the bag. That's right. I might make some use of it yet.
5,000 now, and another 40 in a week's time.
The words of the trader, who seemed to regain his faculties, completely stunned me. Usually such things are only in use among the players and are little more than an inventory item for NPCs. But here was 45,000 gold on offer. And that's despite my red band and the fact that an NPC would automatically try to rip me off as much as possible. I don't think so. First, I would have to find out more about the Eye and who the Tarantula Lords were, and only then would I make a decision.
No, thank you. I am not going to sell the Eye right now.
90,000 gold. Tomorrow.
By the looks of it, the trader decided to floor me with this one. What was it about this thing? I went to the manual and made a search for the item's name. Nothing. At all. A search in the forums also brought zero results. Could it be the same as with a quest chain, where you wouldn't be allowed into the hidden help area until you accepted the quest? Most probably. But I cannot accept the quest now. 100 levels are, after all, 100 levels. It would be laughable to even approach the Eye with my current 14 levels.
No, thank you. I will not sell the Eye even for 200,000.
Judging by the long face of the trader, his third offer was probably going to be in this area. When I get to Anhur's and create my own clan, it should become clearer what to do with the Eye. It cannot disappear from the bag, since it's not a legendary item, so there it can stay. I left the disappointed merchant, who immediately started to pack up shop to the frustration of the locals, and headed back to the forest. The counter measuring my 48 hours spent outside the village was reset, so I again had 2 days to rescue the wolf cubs and kick some goblin ass. The wolves were still sitting in the place where I left them, behind the shrubs before the wooden gates of the mine. If that's how they've been guarding the entrance before, how did a lone goblin manage to make his way outside? There wasn't another exit, as far as I remember, and it wasn't possible to climb out of the pit. Well, who knows? Maybe even wolves need to sleep. Having taken the necessary items out of the bag, I commenced my metamorphosis. At first, I went radically green. I painted my arms, face, legs, and in general anything that may show from under the skirt and tunic. The wolves stared at this outrage, full of incomprehension. From an ordinary human being, the shaman was turning into a green paint-covered God knows what. One thing was comforting. There were no witnesses. It's not like the wolves were going to tell anyone of my loss of dignity. The leather tunic left enough space for me to stuff plenty of grass in the relevant places, giving me a truly feminine appearance. When I put on the skirt and the wig, the pack leader couldn't help snorting. Yeah, I'll make a note to kick the leader's gray hairy behind once we get rid of all the goblins. The main thing was for my disguise to work, or all my efforts would have been in vain. Before heading off to conquer the pointy-eared minions, I went to the nearby stream and looked at my reflection. It was really something. I did a great job of making myself look truly ugly. Green, scary, and black-haired. A real orc. But something was still lacking. I wrinkled my brow as the image remained incomplete. Yes, I was green, in a skirt, with a mallet in my hand, but some small detail was missing. The goblins wouldn't fall for me as I am, I was damn certain. A quiet growl made me turn around. Grey Death, if I correctly understood that was the name of the she-wolf, brought me a small bone in her teeth. That's it! The orc woman in the picture had a bone sticking out of her nose. I tore a couple of hairs off from the wig and used them to tie the bone in place. Now the look was complete. If I didn't manage to seduce anyone looking like this, I understand nothing of goblin notions of beauty. One thing made me nervous. The she-wolf kept snorting, as if she was laughing at me. That's fine. Keep laughing. I'll find a way to get my own back. I gathered my wits about me, selected one of the archers on the closest tower, and stepped out of the bushes. Now was the moment of truth. The hidden pack of wolves, ready to attack the goblins, stayed in the grass. Some time went by, but the little buggers didn't look like they were going to do anything. Did they just completely fail to spot me or something? All right, then. Let's give them a hand. I filled my lungs with air and whistled, carefully watching the status of the goblin. If he became aggressive straight away, my idea had fallen through. All that careful paint application would have been for nothing. A couple of seconds went by, but the goblins were not turning red. I no longer had any doubts that they saw me. Both archers nearly jumped over the railing, trying to get a better look at the beauty who had come to pay them a visit. Suddenly, the goblin that I kept selected gained a buff in the form of a heart. Adoration. He threw down the bow and started to climb down from the tower, leaping over steps. The other one wasn't far behind. Did it work, then? I started to take slow steps towards the forest and the protection of the wolf attack force. The love-struck goblins opened the gates and sped in my direction. Yup, those guys were ready, completely losing their heads as they ran towards me, blowing me kisses on the way. How disgusting. One of the lover boys jumped to a shrub behind which a wolf was sitting and tore off a few branches. Were they going to bring me flowers as well? Cool, I think I'd like that. Blah! What got into me? I have to take the goblins deeper into the forest where their screams wouldn't be heard. I hurried away from the mine. Immediately, the goblin that I selected acquired a second buff, Fervor, again in the form of a heart. Oops, so that's dating, orc style then, eh? Great. I ran off about 200 meters from the mine and turned towards the goblins, who were rushing to get their hands on the orc beauty. Damn! I didn't think things through when I put my ambush right on the edge of the forest. The wolves were shifting in the shadows either side of us and hurrying to take their new places for the attack, but weren't quite going to make it. Goblins were going to get to me first. Bugger it! I can't summon any spirits because I'll get out of character, and this duo would wipe me out in the blink of an eye. Even if their stats are focused on agility, I was no match for their 30 levels to my level 14. Killing me would be a walk in the park. Gripping my mallet, I decided to use that to fend them off until the pack got here. I only needed half a minute or so. The goblin flew up to me, arms outstretched, and tried to catch me in his embrace, but got hit by the mallet straight on the nose. He staggered back and cried out and acquired a third heart-shaped buff, flirting. A couple of moments later, all three buffs merged into one big heart, love. So there you have it, At least someone loves me in this game. Turning around to his rival, the goblin shouted,
Go to heel, you spawn of a Sklix! This woman is mine! Fear woman like this, I can keep your mugs in the dunes! I want her too!
Shouted the second. I had no time to be surprised before I saw a message.
Attention! A member of the Kartus Dark Empire has fallen in love with you. To make it possible for the lovers to understand each other, the game administration grants you the opportunity to understand and speak the language of Dark Goblins. Have a pleasant game. You have learned a new language, Dark Goblin. Achievement earned, Romeo and Juliet, level 1. 19 seductions of the members of the Dark Empire until the next level. Achievement reward, the chance that you can get a member of the Dark Empire to fall in love with you is increased by 1%. You can look at the list of achievements in the character settings.
Bloody hell! I've always dreamt of gaining such an important and almost unattainable achievement. Now the main thing was not to let anyone know that I had it. Generally, learning the language of the Dark Empire is not that hard. You just have to go to the library and spend a couple of months there, studying texts and speaking with a guardian. After a certain amount of time, the guardian would offer you a book and teach you one of the 100 languages of our continent. Anyone you'd like, from the widespread Orcish to the rare language of the kobolds. But I had no idea that you could gain a language through such a gift. The goblins started to squabble about which of them was the better match for me. They had already switched from words to fists when my wolf attack force arrived. The fight was short, but unusual. The wolves tore into the goblins, but the latter didn't even try to put up a fight. With huge, tear-filled eyes, they looked at me as her who betrayed all their hopes. Him, rather. To hell with all this! Now I'm the one getting confused!
Experience gained, plus 400 experience. Points remaining until next level, 351.
From each goblin, I got 2 gold and a pair of worn trousers. They had neither weapons nor potions. Well, never mind. The main thing was that we've found a harmless enough way of defeating the goblins. And if I had to sway some hips and batter some eyelashes, once again I'd say that if there were no witnesses, it never happened. These thoughts were going through my head as I went for the next group of Romeos. The wolves were clearly up to something. Until I hit the goblin with the mallet, not one of those mongrels attacked the pair that was hurrying after me. What was the point of leaving them in an ambush? Just so they can snigger and watch me be chased by a crowd of admirers? In any case, it was finished now. All the 4 towers were free, the gates were open, and only the 10 or so workers, the warrior and the commander, remained. I was wary of the last 2. The warrior would have a boosted strength stat, but the boss was an unknown. He might even turn out to be a wizard. I had to be careful. Thanks to the Romeos, I raised myself up to level 15, but decided against allocating the free stat points. The higher a particular stat was, the harder it was to level it up in a normal way. No, I can wait it out and not spend them until I absolutely have to. By the way, since we're talking about stats, I decided to get to the bottom of what bonuses endurance gave me. It was good that it reduced the level of pain I felt, but by the looks of it, endurance also had to reduce the amount of damage I sustained. However, not a single message that came up said anything about damage being reduced in any way on account of endurance. Did it have to be activated in some way, then? What did the help section say?
Endurance determines a player's ability to ignore any damage from an opponent for endurance 10%. This is calculated and deducted from any incoming damage automatically, before the analysis of blocking, dodge, or damage reduction from defense.
Now I understood why I didn't see endurance in the messages. The message, sustained XXX damage, shows the harm caused already after it's been reduced on account of endurance. In my case, that was by 1.1%. Not much, of course. but sometimes even such margin may allow you to stay alive. I gathered the wolves into one attack formation and headed towards the mine. Enough goblins remained there to give us a fair amount of trouble.
"The Master Moon came! The Master Moon came!"
All 10 goblins threw their picks to the ground, fell on their knees, and started to kowtow to me, all as one. Did they really take me for their master? What the heck am I going to do with them? I selected one of the goblins and looked at his properties. Goblin. Just a goblin, totally lacking the dark adjective. I took a better look at the closest one and saw a collar on him. Slaves. There were a dozen slaves here gathering the ore.
"Arg!" shouted the warrior guarding the tent and ran at me. "You're no woman. You're cross-dressing spy. Enemies in the camp."
Level 30, a close combat fighter, being a warrior and all, was running towards me, waving his yatagan around. Think again, wise guy. I can run too. However, unlike an archer, I can summon spirits as well. The wolves again froze like statues, reluctant to be the first to join the fight. I can live with that. I'll down this one myself, and they can look out for the boss joining the fray. Usually one of those comes part and parcel with a long and hard fight. I brought down the warrior quite quickly. 10 lightning spirits, and I was done. The wolves did the right thing to keep away from him. He was running around like crazy, waving his yatagans left and right. He could have easily hit someone. Then there was only the tent and the NPC workers, who weren't even thinking of getting up from the ground. Strange. There was so much noise, but no one came out from the tent. It's not like the boss is asleep, is it? Well, time to wake him up, then. I came up to the tent and started banging on the roof, ready to jump away if I needed to. Silence. Gathering up my courage, I lifted the flap and looked inside. There was no one there. This simply can't be. This is the final location where the boss should be found. I looked around the tent and noticed some strange movement in a small pile of blankets. Ha-ha! He hid himself. I threw off the blankets and stared at a small, pot-bellied goblin, covered in gold chains and rings and wearing a really expensive-looking suit. Seeing that he was discovered, the goblin sat down, crossed his arms on top of his stomach, and started to speak in broken common.
"You get gold. I you not see."
"My understands and speaks your tongue," I replied in goblin. It was strange, and I had to say it word by word, but it was still much better than that messed-up common.
"Ooh, a tall guest, as a beauty disguised, is speaking our language in. Or our tall guest really a beauty is."
The emboldened goblin had the adoration buff fading in and out next to him. Just what I need. This one getting all love-struck with me, too. I dragged the wig off my head and untied the bone. There. I could even breathe more easily now. The goblin was noticeably saddened. Naturally, when Miss World turns into an ugly toad in the blink of an eye, it's a real tragedy. Miss World. I even sighed. Each year a beauty contest is held in Barleona. One necessary condition is that the participant's appearance must correspond to their real appearance. For 3 years in a row, the title of Miss Malabar was given to Paladin Anasteria. She was a very beautiful girl. Endless poems have been dedicated to her, and many players traveled to Anhurs, the Empire's capital, just for a chance to catch a glimpse of her. I came across her only once, or rather, just saw her about 100 meters away. I don't know what stat she had leveled up in, but it completely knocks you off your feet. At the same time, she is the deputy of Hellfire from the Phoenix Clan, and the second most high-level player in the Empire, as well as the author of nearly all the boss manuals. She is someone who looks at the results of your gameplay, and not at bells and whistles, like money or presents. She isn't interested in them. I pushed away my dreams into the background and focused on the goblin. By this time, a piece of roast meat had found its way into his hands, and he was gobbling it down with involved concentration, as if his being attacked and taken prisoner never happened.
10 gold, prepared am to pay you, I,
he finally deigned to speak to me after he finished chewing the meat.
To work off the loss of my warriors must, for Magister Ore gathering we are behind. Mine ore have you two.
Quest available. I didn't even look at what quest was available to me. I quickly stepped over to the cheeky, undersized boss and hit him with the mallet between the eyes. A couple of times, just to be sure. The goblin slumped to the ground, but was still alive. His life bar was barely dented, but he acquired a 2-hour buff, stunned. That's better. Now I had to look around the tent and see what we had here, or my inner hoarding hamster would never forgive me. What the?
Quest available. Head of the Green Raiders. Description. You have captured the head of the Kartus Dark Empire infiltrators. Take him to the nearest town and hand him over to the person in charge. Quest type, rare. Reward, +400 to reputation with the Malabar Empire, +500 experience, +30 silver coins, a rare item from the town stores. Penalty for failing or refusing the quest, -400 to reputation with the Malabar Empire.
Oh, of course I'll accept it. Now I knew what to do with this guy. Also, he mentioned a rather interesting position, a magister. The Dark Empire had the same division of ranks as Malabar. If Malabar had an emperor, 4 advisors, and 20 heralds, Kartus had the Dark Lord, 4 masters, and 20 magisters. Heralds and magisters could teleport to any point they wished within the bounds of their respective empires, without limits. However, they were seen by the players as often as the emperor himself, which means hardly ever. So, this little pot-bellied creature was given an assignment by none other than a magister. Great! This meant that he would make a very valuable prisoner. It was an opportunity to get an additional bonus from Malabar. I absolutely had to deliver him, and it was just as well that a portal to Farstead was already in my bag. 2 beings could walk through it easily enough. After tearing up a blanket, I tied up the boss, in case he suddenly woke up. 2 hours is plenty of time, but it's best to play it safe. And now, to the looting and pillaging. A small chest immediately caught my eye. It was finely carved, with intricate symbols on its sides. It also had one small but really unpleasant feature. A broken key was sticking out of the keyhole. Damn, the lid was locked. It looked like the goblin had no time to open it. He was in too much of a hurry when I started to bang on top of the tent. Annoyed, I kicked the immobilized goblin. Just because. Why did he have to be in such a hurry? Didn't he know that I was dropping by for a visit? What should I do now? I couldn't leave the chest behind. My greed toad would strangle me. But taking it with me was out of the question. It wasn't loot, but part of the scenery. If you took it out of the tent, it would simply disappear, along with all its contents. I had to stop thinking and start acting. Now then, I wondered what's more impressive, a cannonball that could blast through anything, or a wall through which nothing could break? Or rather, the mallet or a closed lid? No better time to find out. I put the chest on the side and started to hit it. Might makes right. I learned that one while still a child. I could see no other might at my disposal, so a minute later the lid fell to the floor with a subdued bang, and I stared at the loot that fell out of it. Not bad. Not bad at all. Looks like I struck lucky. There was a small pile of gold, Wow, 3,000 gold, which were immediately reduced by 30%. 5 scrolls of teleportation to Cartus, by the looks of it. I'll save them for later. When I increase my level, they'd come in handy for teleporting to the Dark Empire. Or I could sell them at an auction, at about 100,000 each. I took 2 gold rings off the goblin with a +10 to agility and a neck chain with a +12 to stamina. That was some boon. If ordinary rings with a +5 stat bonus cost upward of 100 gold, a ring with +10 would cost around 5,000. I'd leave the chain for myself, though. Shame as it was to admit it, it was better than my own, even if I wouldn't be able to wear it until I gained 15 more levels. It could only be used by someone with level 30. On the second thought, I'd sell it as well. I urgently had to start leveling up my jewel craft. I had the recipes, but, as it turned out, I was seriously short of time. The small chest also yielded something that made me more happy than anything else, a map of our continent. In general, maps had this interesting feature in Barleona. They would scale up as needed. For example, if I had to look at the continent as a whole, the map would take one scale, and if I wanted to look just at Malabar, it would become a different scale. It would have another scale for Farstead and another for Beatwick. This only worked, however, if the needed area was actually on the map. If it wasn't there, the map would show nothing. So details either had to be bought, or you had to add them to the map yourself if you had the cartographer profession. I quickly glanced at the map that I got off the goblin. It had 20% of discovered terrain in Cartus, 1% in Malabar, and 1% in the Freelands. I rubbed my face in astonishment, not believing what I saw. 20% of the Cartus Empire map could mean only one thing. I could look forward to a long and happy life. I could rip so much money from the players for a copy of this map that even 30%, which was deducted from me by the corporation, would seem like small change. As it stands, players usually venture into Cartus without any maps, as those are extremely hard to get. Yes, my friendship with the wolves sure brought me luck. The tent contained nothing else. That is, nothing else that was there for the taking. There were, of course, cushions, blankets, a small chest, and many small objects. There was the tent itself as well. But none of this could be taken. I could put any of this in the bag for a couple of seconds until the items disappeared. As soon as I send the goblin to Farstead, the tent itself will disappear as if it never existed. It's a pity and a shame, but it's all right. Everyone had gotten used to this by now. I put the wig back on, slung the goblin across my shoulder, and came out of the tent. The wolves were circling the cages with the wolf cubs, unable to open them with their paws. The cheered-up little wolves squealed with joy, jumping around the cages in expectation of reuniting with their parents. The ordinary goblins never bothered to get up from the ground. Right, I had to decide what to do with them. I couldn't just leave them here. I threw the boss down on the ground and undid the wire that held the cages together. That's it. Step 2 is finished. Freeing the wolf cubs. Quest completed. Experience gained, +550 experience. Points remaining until next level, 1. Step 3 of the Last Hope quest chain will become available in 6 days' time. You will get this quest automatically. Wow! This quest could be connected with something. 6 days. The time when the Vagran comes out. Is the Last Hope connected to the Beatwick Vagran? What does the manual say? It's as silent as the grave. Damn! It's a real pain when you can't look at normal forums, not moderated by the corporation representatives. I had some hope of being able to carry out at least half of the headman's quest. I went through the 10 previously killed wolves. As soon as I touched their bodies, they immediately disappeared, leaving behind a tail. 10 bodies, 10 tails. Now I was only lacking the tail of the Grey Death to finish the quest. I looked at the she-wolf's tail thoughtfully. I couldn't help wondering if they really were that clever. As soon as she saw that I was holding the wolf tails in my hands and stealing glances at her, she turned her back to me and a moment later was running as fast as she could from the mine. The wolf cubs ran after her. They were followed by the ordinary wolves, with only the pack leader staying behind. He came up to the goblins, who were lying down on their faces, snorted, and ran after the pack. That's it. Now I had to decide what to do with the 10 literally floored goblins.
"Now, you get up! No time for lying about!" I shouted in Goblin.
The green workers immediately jumped up and formed a neat line, in the order of height.
"So, let's get to the bottom of this. Who's in charge here?"
"You are, Masterman," said one goblin,
and all 10 of them again fell to their knees.
"I know that. Who's in charge among the rest of you? Who do I speak to?"
"That me, Masterman. Me you talk to," replied the same goblin.
"Great. Then I have a question. What are you doing here?"
"We mining ore, Masterman."
"I see. I asked the question wrongly. Why were you mining ore?"
"Our old Masterman ordered us to."
The goblin nodded towards my prisoner.
"And where do you put the gathered ore?"
"We near the tent put it. Today our former boss sent ore off. No mind, we gather more. New Masterman will happy be. Will new Masterman take us?"
"Attention, you may hire a work team of resource-gathering goblins. Conditions, you must provide the goblins with daily food and daily working wage, 1 silver coin. Level of goblins is determined by player character level. Level of all resource-gathering professions is determined by player character level."
Wow! 10 virtually free bodies to provide me with resources that I so sorely need. The only drawback was that this was a team focused on gathering, not production. I did, however, get it for nothing. In Anhurs, you can hire various work teams for gathering, production, or research, but their cost was extortionate, and the workers frequently died since you had to feed them and otherwise look after them. If you forgot to feed them for a day, you were left without a work team. My hunter never had a work team of his own because I did not log into the game every day. But since I have such a major stint of time online, I had to make use of the opportunity.
"I'll take you on. From now on, I'm your new boss."
"Achievement earned. Supervisor level 1. Hiring 4 work teams until the next level. Achievement reward. The work team's working speed is increased by 5%. You can look at the list of achievements in the character settings."
"Have you already eaten today?"
Seeing the vigorously nodding goblin mugs, I refined the question.
"How many days' food supply do you have?"
5 days, Masterman. Former Masterman, a big vat cooked for us. We not eat it all yet."
Hearing this came as a big relief. I planned to teleport to Farstead right away to turn in the boss, but leaving without first resolving the food situation of my new workers wasn't an option.
"Then this is your job for the week. You mine the ore and don't mind the wolves. They won't touch you. Put the ore here." I pointed to a small hollow in the ground. "In 2 days, Shaman Mayhen will come and will say a password, Blaboom. You obey him like you do me, understood?"
The goblins quickly nodded, and I continued.
"Why are you loitering here? Off to work with you."
In a split second, they were gone. They grabbed their picks, spreading throughout the mine, and I went around it gathering everything dropped by the Romeos when they ran off after their Juliet. After me, that is. I walked some distance away, but still managed to catch the goblins whispering amongst themselves.
"New Masterman, she a real beauty. All green and in a skirt. Her bust bigger than my head. Pity, no bone in nose. But that fine. It grow in time.
Chapter 3. Farstead.
I'm gathering a party for the Rortus dungeon. Need healers and a tank.
WTS, 40 wolf pelts, just 20 gold each.
WTB, a level 20 warrior sword with a bonus to STR.
Farstead welcomed me with familiar town buzz. In this respect, it was no different from all the other standard towns in Barleona, from which only Annhers really stood out. Similar-looking two-story stone houses, gray walls, from which here and there hung the shingles of merchants or various profession trainers. There was a cobbled street, an overturned cart, half-drowned in a haystack, probably a favorite playground for the local kids, and crowds of people, both players and NPCs, hurrying in every direction. Although there weren't exactly hordes of players around, they were making a great din. If you were to believe the manuals, the Krong province was meant for players between level 20 and 40, so looking for good offers on items or groups would be a waste of time here. Savvy players under level 50 level up by themselves or in special clan locations and only visit a town for the bank, the dating house, for traders or profession trainers. Those now shouting about forming groups for dungeons or buying low-level gear are, let's put it this way, such players are usually called noobs. That sums it up. There's little joy in ending up in the same group with a beginner tank or healer.
"Oh, I didn't manage to select you as a target and so couldn't heal you in time. Why didn't you heal yourself with bandages?"
"Oh, look at that cute rat. Let's not kill it."
"Ah, I'm being attacked. I'm leaving the group."
"Do you kids want Daddy to show you how to use them pointy things?"
A couple of times I was careless enough to end up in a group with such players and had very little desire to repeat that experience. They never read any manuals or forums, but are more big-headed and arrogant than the elves. The portal threw me out practically in the middle of the main town square. Why was it the main one? Because it contained the local government headquarters and a Barleona bank branch. Generally speaking, the Bank of Barleona is really something else. As if playing a joke on real banks, the Barleona version resembles a small 3-meter-high gazebo surrounded by small trees. There are no thick walls or armies of guards. There is no need for them, because when entering the gazebo, each player ends up in a separate dimension, a personal room of sorts. In each room, there is a small table with a gremlin sitting behind it, always wearing black brassards, and constantly writing something. You could give him gold to be deposited, and he is the one to retrieve it on withdrawal and hand it over to its owner. The gremlin receives requests for credit or for expansion of your personal room. Its initial modest size meant that it wasn't ideal for storing all your resources. The only item storage limitation the banks had was that you couldn't store more than 10 items of the same class in them. This meant that you couldn't save up more than 10 legendary or 10 epic items, and so on. The bank had no intention of turning into a warehouse. Clans kept all the accumulated riches inside their own castles, kept secure by guards and by protective spells. There were even special clans dedicated to the production of wards and clans that focused on breaking through these wards. Same as anywhere, really. I had little to save for the rainy day other than the warrior orc figurines. I was going to the bank for a different reason. I had to withdraw my hunter items. Extra money and gear, even if focused on agility, would come in handy. Before I got there, some words stood out from the general buzz and caught my ear.
"Hey, you know what I read on the Phoenix Forum yesterday? They are prepared to pay 100 grand in gold for information about the jeweler who created the Carmadont chess pieces.
Overhearing the conversation between two dwarf players made me throw my prisoner to the ground, pretend that I was stretching my stiff shoulders, and generally look like I was simply passing by and not paying any attention to anyone around me. In actual fact, I turned into one big ear.
"What were you doing over there?"
"Well..."
"Aha! You're thinking about applying to join, aren't you?" laughed one of the dwarves. "Don't you know that they don't take anyone under level 60 as a matter of principle?"
"Yes, I know. It's just they've got interesting stuff going on. Every now and then they upload videos of dungeon tactics, and even if these are mostly old dungeons, they are top-quality walkthroughs. This way I can learn from their experience. And also, Anisteria posted new holograms."
"So what about the jeweler and the 100 grand?
"Oh, yes. It's posted on the main page of their website. Attention, we are prepared to buy information about the jeweler who created the Carmadont chess pieces. Payment for the information, 100,000 gold. This is followed by a message, "Jeweler, we are offering you a place in our ranks and the title of a master." Just imagine, a master.
"So what?"
Shaking his head as if to say, "What a noob," the first dwarf gave a resigned sigh and went on.
"In Phoenix, master is the third top rank in the clan. It means full access to the vault, the right to order about recruits, raiders, and mercenaries. They only have 8 masters, and those have been in the clan from the day it was created. But now they are making such an offer to some unknown jeweler."
"Yeah, they're a pretty serious bunch. Well, whatever. Did you hear what Roxy came up with yesterday? She and her friends..."
What followed was of little interest. I stopped stretching, slung the goblin across my shoulders, and headed off to pay the town authorities a visit. So, by the looks of it, Phoenix, the best guild in the Empire, is offering the jeweler, that is, me, to enter its ranks as a master. And this is all because of some chess pieces. At the Pryke Mine, the regional governor let it slip that the pieces are a key to somewhere. But could this somewhere be worth more than the rank of a master? I really must make a closer study of the chess piece properties, and it wouldn't hurt to sift through the forum on this topic either. The idea of joining Phoenix is quite attractive. Not only was it the best clan on the continent, but Anisteria is a member as well. Phoenix was one of the oldest clans in the game. When the clan's raid group received its 20th first kill, it began to represent our empire on the annual contest of the top clans. Phoenix took part in 7 contests and twice became the best clan in Barleona. Although in the last 4 years their position had weakened and they were unable to get higher than the 3rd place, the emperor decided that a month before the next tournament, which was set to take place in 9 months' time, an internal imperial contest should be held to decide which was the best clan in Malabar. Phoenix would once again have to fight for this title, but I could bet that it would take the top place with little difficulty. My evil-minded internal greed toad started to fuss and kick me around. I also have a first kill, as well as plans to create a clan of my own, so I also should have the right to take part in the tournament. To make it worse, the hoarding hamster gave it his full support, probably because he remembered all the nice prizes that were given to the winner of the last tournament. Damn, why am I stuffing my thoughts with rubbish again? I have to go and hand in the goblin, drop by the bank, and visit the profession trainers. I also need to buy a return teleportation scroll. That timer didn't go anywhere. Speaking of the timer, 43 hours, 25 minutes. That's fine. I have enough time.
Halt! In the name of the Emperor!
Two mustached guards blocked the entrance to the administration building, pointing their halberds in my direction. At least I remembered that I was green all over and cleaned myself up before the jump. Better not show up in front of other players looking like that. It could lead to a serious misunderstanding. Halting, was my simple response. It was dangerous to argue or quarrel with guards. They could easily throw you in jail for 24 hours.
Do you have any reputation with the province? No? This means you're an unreliable social element. You can sit in the cell and do some thinking until we find out for sure, so to speak.
I caught an infiltrator and have come to hand him in. Let your superiors figure out why there's a dark goblin hanging around in Krong. The guards came closer and warily examined my face. Did I miss some when taking the paint off? I thought such things were fairly simple in Barleona.
How can you prove that this is an infiltrator, or that you are the one that caught him instead of stealing him from the real brave heroes? Why didn't you ride into the town properly, through the gates on a horse, but got here by teleporting?
Picky bastards! Just because I have a red band on my head doesn't mean that I commit a crime every 5 minutes, between killing players and NPCs. Okay, breathing deeply and staying calm. I have to hand in the quest, and no hurdle in the form of 2 job-worth imitators is going to stop me.
Because it's an infiltrator. Just look at him. What else could a dark goblin be inside the Malabar Empire? It's not like he's an honest merchant. That I didn't steal him, you can see for yourselves, since I'm not carrying the mark. Yes, I do have the headband, but there is no mark saying I've committed a crime. As for not riding into the town on a horse, well, I don't have one. To top it off, I live in Beatwick, which is 2 days' travel from here. Teleporting is faster, even if more expensive. Does that answer all your questions? If yes, please let me through. I need to hand over the infiltrator to the person in charge here.
The guards had no further questions, and I walked into the administration building unhindered. What's good about Barleona is that you can get to see an official at the level of a town mayor in a couple of seconds. You just come and have a chat. No conditions and no long waits. If 2 players come at the same time, each ends up with his own copy of the official without holding up the others. From the level of the governor, things get more complicated. And if getting to see him is not impossible, getting through to heralds and advisors is much more difficult. Getting an audience with the Emperor is practically impossible. As Eric said, 200,000 gold is the normal price for a ticket to see the Emperor.
How can I help you?
The Farstead mayor looked up from his papers, giving me an expectant stare. I threw the goblin on the carpeted floor, flexed my shoulders to get rid of the virtual stiffness, and said, I caught this munchkin near Beatwick, a village right on the border. An infiltrator, by the looks of it. I decided not to kill him, and brought him to you instead. That's it, I think.
Take him away for questioning,
the mayor told the guards, who appeared when he rang a small bell.
As for you, young man, please wait for the results of the questioning in the adjacent room. What if it's just a merchant, and you have disrupted his trade?
In such a simple manner, the mayor left me in little doubt as to exactly how much trust he had in me. Damn, I'll have to waste my precious limited time stuck in here. But not much for it, since I was the one that brought him in. I'll have to take the responsibility. After settling down in a small but cozy room, I decided to get some sleep. I would have to sleep at least once in the 2 days that I could spend outside Beatwick, so why not get some rest right here and now? I barely closed my eyes when a guard shook me awake.
Mr. Mayor wants to see you.
I looked at my timer. 38 hours, 22 minutes. That was some nap. 5 hours, gone in a flash, although it feels like I dozed off just 5 minutes ago.
Please allow me to express my gratitude on behalf of the Malabar Empire and present you with a small reward for your services, said the mayor in a completely different tone and handed me a scroll.
Quest, head of the Green Raiders, is completed. Reward, plus 400 reputation with the Malabar Empire, plus 500 experience. Points remaining until next level, 1101. Level gained. Free stat points, 10. Item acquired, irrepressible leather pauldron. Durability, 60. Physical damage resistance, 30. Plus stamina, plus 4 intellect. Item class, rare.
Now, have a seat. There is something I have to tell you, the mayor said in a much more informal tone, falling silent and lifting his folded hands to his lips, as if in a prayer, but without closing his eyes. You got the impression that he didn't know how to start.
Today, you delivered a very interesting prisoner to us. I'd even say exceptionally interesting. He has already been sent to Anhur's, where he will be questioned by one of the advisors or heralds. I was asked to relay the fact that Cartus representatives have already contacted our heralds and offered ransom for the goblin. Negotiations on his price are being carried out as we speak. According to our laws, 10% of the ransom for the prisoner belongs to you. It will be transferred to your account. Now, about what happened. The appearance of a squad of dark goblins is a very unusual event in our neighborhood. This is not the only squad, either. The prisoner said that 10 of them have been put together and sent to the Krong province to gather resources that are so badly needed in Cartus. What Cartus needs them for is something the heralds will be finding out. The search for the remaining 8 squads is being carried out by 8 heroes that have just been hired for the purpose. However, something else is worrying the advisors. All of the squads have to be communicating with each other in some way. There simply must be someone who is coordinating the activity of the goblins in these lands and setting them various tasks. At the moment, we have no way of finding this sentient. The Malabar Empire is asking your help. Please find him. I understand that you cannot leave Beatwick for too long, but we suspect that all the threads, in fact, lead there. Our prisoner is flatly refusing to tell us the identity of the coordinator or what else they might be doing here, and even the telepathic mages cannot break through the defense he has on him. We will see what the chat with an advisor will yield. In any case, you are the one that brought this prisoner, so we will entrust the search for the coordinator to you. If, in 2 months' time, your search brings no results, the assignment will be given to one of the heroes hired to look for the goblins. We have to be sure that the coordinator will be found, and it would be foolish to rely entirely on a free citizen of 16 levels. You have 2 months.
Quest available. Search for the Dark Coordinator. Description. The Dark Empire of Cartus has been actively sending its squads into the Krong province. It is believed that the activity of the 10 Cartus squads is being coordinated by one sentient. Find him. Time given for completing the quest, 60 days. Quest type, unique. Reward, plus 4,000 to reputation with the Malabar Empire, plus 4,000 experience, plus 10,000 gold coins, a scaling item from the Emperor's stores. Penalty for failing the quest, plus 40 to reputation with the Malabar Empire, plus 400 experience, plus 100 silver.
I will find out who is coordinating the activity of the squads. I almost stuttered as I accepted the quest. Could a simple goblin trigger the system to give me a unique quest? I can understand it with the eye. The chance of such an item dropping during the first completion of a dungeon is very high.
Barleona is extremely vast, so quests like that drop quite often. A clan like Phoenix completes them fairly regularly. I'm certain of that. However, getting a unique